Welcome, members and guests, to the May 30th program of the City Club of Eugene. Welcome to our TV audiences on community television. I'm Marty Wilde, the City Club past president. Thank you to KLCC for airing our programs at 6:30 on Monday nights for our radio listening audience. Our sponsors today are the Oregon Country Fair, next month on July 11th, 12th, and 13th, 2014. Essex General Construction, developing partnerships as strong as the and sturdy as the buildings they construct. Dot Dotson's, imagery experts for over 80 years. And a special thank you to KPFF Consulting Engineers for our office space. Welcome to our new member, Mark Coombe. Our host and moderator today is Jim Coonan, the Executive Director of the Regional Accelerator Innovation Network, or RAIN. As a small business leader, Coonan is currently chair of Peak Audio Group, and he is the former chairman and largest shareholder of Kentrox LLC and Hotel Software Systems Limited. He also served as CEO and chairman of Portland's OECO Corporation. Coonan serves as an advisor to several local funds, including Mount Hood Equity Partners and Northwest Technology Ventures. Previously, Coonan served in executive marketing positions for Van de Kamp's Frozen Foods, the Pillsbury Company, and General Mills Incorporated. Please welcome Jim Coonan, who will introduce our program.
Well, good afternoon. My name's Jim Coonan, and really I'm an entrepreneur and businessman, but I have an avocational interest in entrepreneurship. And much to the disgust of my wife, because I don't make as much income helping entrepreneurs, but it's something that I absolutely love. And for the last 15 years, I've been building what's called entrepreneurial infrastructure throughout the state. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And to help me with that, I've got a distinguished panel, several of which who are my board members, relative to this new entity called RAIN, Regional Accelerator Innovation Network. And what that is, and we'll get into some more detail, is a unique collaboration between the universities of University of Oregon and Oregon State and the communities of the South Willamette Valley, particularly in a headline role, the cities of Eugene and Corvallis, and all working together to do something kind of unique, which is to pull together to actually directly impact the economic development efforts in our region, trying to ply into those resources that we have in the university, but haven't traditionally actually accrued to the direct benefit, although in many ways, of course, they do. But the traditional way has been more, what do we do with intellectual property? RAIN is more focused on how do we create jobs and companies in the South Willamette Valley. So in that regard, it's a very unique regional approach. So let me get into just introducing our panels. And starting first, Mayor Kitty Piercy, and I'll read a little bio about each of them. And then I have a series of questions, and then, of course, we'll open it up to you folks as well. So Kitty Piercy has served as Eugene, Oregon mayor since 2005. Prior to that, she was an early childhood educator and elementary school teacher, served as a state representative three times, and was public affairs director for Planned Parenthood of Southwest Oregon. She has also served on many committees and commissions, including 13 years on the Oregon Commission for Child Care and the Lane County Commission on Children and Families. She is a member of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, the Mayor's Innovation Project, Mayors for Peace, Mayors Against Illegal Guns, and a number of groups and organizations working on climate change and sustainability. Among her other duties, she currently chairs the Metropolitan Policy Committee and Lane County Area Transportation Committee, co-chairs the Governor's Passenger Rail Leadership Council, and the planning team for Regional Accelerator Innovation Network, or RAIN. Mayor Piercy has received a number of awards and recognitions for her work. In 2010, was named Most Valuable Local Official by The Nation magazine. Please welcome Mayor Piercy. And also today, and as a reflection of the RAIN collaborative, we have the mayor of Corvallis, Julie Manning. So Julie Manning is Vice President for Development, Marketing, and Public Relations at Samaritan Health Services, a regional health system based in Corvallis, Oregon. Her department is responsible for public relations, marketing, fundraising activities for the system's 5 hospitals, 70 physician clinics, and 3 health plans. In addition to her responsibilities at Samaritan Health, Julie was elected to a 4-year term as mayor of Corvallis in November 2010. Julie previously served 8 years on the Corvallis Budget Commission and chaired the city's 2020 Vision Committee. She serves on the board of the League of Oregon Cities and Cascade West Council of Governments and is a founding board member also of RAIN. Prior to joining the Samaritan Health in 1985, Julie served as a high school college instructor in journalism and mass media, as a daily newspaper reporter, and as assistant press secretary to former Oregon Governor Vic Atea. Julie received a bachelor's degree in communications from Lewis and Clark College in Portland and a master's degree in print journalism from Boston University. She earned national accreditation in public relations in 1996 and earned national certification at a fundraising executive in 2000. She has served in leadership roles in state national professional organization as past chair of the 700-member Health Academy. She's an active community volunteer, past president of the Corvallis Area Chamber of Commerce, the Rotary Club of Greater Corvallis, United Way of Benton County. She currently co-chairs Benton County's 10-year plan to end homelessness, and she was named Corvallis Junior First Citizen in 1997, followed up by Corvallis' first citizen in 2005. Please join me in welcoming Mayor Manning. And now the next two gentlemen are what are called Chief Startup Officers. Part of the RAIN initiative is to create an accelerator both in the Corvallis area and the Eugene area. And we're going to talk a little bit about what the heck an accelerator is in a moment. But sitting next is Joe Marushak. And Joe is a serial entrepreneur, and I think a brilliant choice for this to lead Eugene's first effort. His background is in software. He started a number of his own companies, most recently Brave Tree, which was sold. He stayed on with the acquiring company for a number of years, and then left that to become a consultant, and then I think in last month was hired as the chief startup officer for the Eugene Node. Please join me in welcoming Joe. And then finally, to his right, Mark Lieberman, who is his counterpart. He's the chief startup officer for the Corvallis Node. So Mark's background, he is, as I said, the chief startup officer at OSU and co-director of the OSU Advantage Accelerator. Previously, he served as executive director of the Business Technology Center of Los Angeles, one of the largest technology incubators in the United States. Mark is a founder of Los Angeles County Technology Week, a prestigious series of events celebrating and promoting innovation and disruptive entrepreneurship in Los Angeles County. Mark has also been a successful business consultant, international banker, investment banker, and he has developed and taught entrepreneurship courses at the University of Southern California, Antioch University, and Cal State Los Angeles. He is responsible for the success of more than 150 new and emerging companies. The magazine named Mark one of the 50 most innovative men in 2012. Mark has consulted with governments and published in the field of entrepreneurship, incubation, angel and venture capital. He has served on many boards as well as on President Obama's Rank Review Committee for 2010. Mark received his MBA and ED in organizational change from Pepperdine University. Please welcome Mark Lieberman. So starting with you, Mayor Piercy, could you give us a little background about where the heck RAIN came from? And from your perspective, what are you hoping some of the results will be of this effort?
Thank you for that, Jim. And first of all, I just want to say I appreciate being here, and I really appreciate my colleagues who, for the second time this week, have come from Corvallis and from Portland to our area. So RAIN, for me, RAIN is right in line with the economic development efforts we've been involved in here in our metropolitan area throughout the recession. Even before the recession, we knew that our local economy was not strong enough. Too many families were working but not making enough to live on. Too many of our young people could not find jobs in our community. Too many entrepreneurs would get started here and then leave. The recession hit us hard. We held a regional prosperity summit to assess our assets and our deficits and what we might do to move us forward. Work was done to identify business needs and the specific clusters that held the greatest opportunities for our area. This, in my view, was the foundation of work we had done here and were doing when our regional solutions teams were put in place. Governor Kitzhaber envisioned that by bringing broader regional leaders together and state agencies, bigger ideas would come forward for projects the state could support to grow both local and state economies. In our region, there had already been several major successes when the state's two research institutions, University of Oregon, Oregon State University, worked together. So thinking about how we could build on that knowledge and experience was a natural. Corvallis and Eugene were already working together on angel conferences and building financial investment. We were already seeing the growth of research and innovators and entrepreneurs. We identified the need to support businesses as they moved from incubation to firmer financial grounds, growing and staying in our community to provide jobs, which would ultimately provide opportunities and stability for everyone. We thought we could take the assets from our universities, provide in research, students, equipment, and the assets of experience and financial investment of the private sector, and the talent and assets of our city, and use those to help businesses grow, stabilize, and stay. In particular, the focus was on entrepreneurs, technology, and innovation. Out of this sprang the idea of RAIN. Plans were made, we engaged the governor, and we agreed at a meeting we had at the University of Oregon that Corvallis and Eugene and the state were all in on moving RAIN forward. After working hard to get all of the pieces in place for our institutions and localities, we were able to approach the legislature to ask their support legislatively and financially, and we were successful in that effort. We are grateful to all the partners. Mayor Manning and I were asked by the governor to co-convene all this work, and we have been honored to do so. The two accelerators, one in Corvallis and the other in Eugene, are up and going. We have a well-respected RAIN executive director in place, local accelerator leaders here, and a board established, and we're on our way. And as the governor said earlier this week, this is just the kind of RAIN we need in Oregon.
Thank you, Mayor. So, Mayor Manning, just sort of building on that. So it's non-trivial, right? We've got to get ducks and beavers to play nicely together, right? And you also have that kind of traditional, you know, cap and gown versus the community. How do you see that evolving, and how can RAIN help in that regard?
Well, thank you, and thanks also to the Eugene City Club for inviting all of us here today to talk about this very exciting initiative. And it's been such a pleasure to work with your mayor, Mayor Piercy, on this effort and to see it coming to fruition now. And as I was considering how to answer this particular question, one word came to my mind immediately, and it's the word synergy. So, you know, you think about this idea of the total, the sum, being greater than any one of the parts individually. And I think that this particular regional initiative, RAIN, is a great example of the power of synergy. Because we really do have, in these two great research universities, world-class research universities, and supportive cities, local governments at the city level and the county level, and this wonderful field of entrepreneurs in our communities, people who know how to start successful companies and how to help nurture the work that is going on, that's coming out of our universities and also is being born and nurtured in our communities in the private sector. So this idea of coming together and thinking about what are the unique assets that we have in this part of the state that really set us apart from anywhere else in Oregon and really allow us to make a name for ourselves, not only in the state, but also beyond, is really this idea of bringing all of these elements together. And a lot of this work, of course, has been going on in our communities and in our universities for many years. But what is the power, the synergistic effort that I really have been so excited to see is the idea of having a venue, a common table, where we can all come together to share information, to share resources, to share best practices, to learn from one another, and really leverage and optimize all of the great things that have been happening at our universities and in our communities for many years. And I think that has been a key factor why the accelerators that are now going in Corvallis and Eugene have gotten up and running so quickly, because this was really just an opportune moment with wonderful support and funding from the legislature and from the local communities that this really made good sense to do right now, and that we had many of the tools already in place to be able to move forward very quickly to be able to generate some success. And I think that we're all already beginning to see that, and that this will continue to be an initiative that we can all feel very good about and proud of in our region.
Thanks, Mayor. So, you know, what's interesting is not only, and it's great to see the mayors, and what attracted me to this job, because as my wife says, I no longer have a career path because I've gotten so old that I can do pretty much what I want to do. And this was really attractive to me because it was the first time that I'd seen communities come together like this, and also the universities. And in particular, when they did the original convening of this, it included not only the mayors, but the two VPs of research from University of Oregon and Oregon State. And also significantly, they have identified an individual in each university to really head up this innovation effort. And I also wanted to introduce Pat Jones, who's sitting here. Stand up, Pat, just so people can identify you. Pat is the Associate VP of Research and Innovation, and he is a counterpart at Oregon State, Ron Adams, and really between the two mayors and Ron and Pat are sort of my core team that I really rely on to help me get from point A to point B, but I'm really excited about this. I think there's a lot of potential. But we've been throwing out some terms, and a lot of people, you know, you hear these terms, incubators and accelerators. Mark, I'm going to start with you. Your accelerator has been around. None of these are terribly old, but you have the head start. You started last July, I believe. Can you tell us a little bit about what an accelerator does and maybe what progress to date you've seen?
Sure. So just a question out to the audience. Have you heard the term accelerator or incubator before? How many of you have? So about half. Okay. So both offer services to startups, in the term of providing resources, tools, sometimes capital for many accelerators, to early nascent startups to help them in an environment to grow and thrive. And these tools and resources are very difficult to accumulate for a startup that may be coming from the science community or maybe coming from a non-business entity, and they don't know the tricks of the trade, so to say. And so accelerators and incubators do that. The difference between the two is that incubators tend to be more of a real estate play. There's an office usually involved or lab space involved, and accelerators are often three-month programs where you come in for an intensive session of education, learning, and evolving and doing, and then graduate with a demo day. At OSU, we do it a little differently. We're kind of a hybrid. We call ourselves an accelerator, but we're really something in between. And I'm happy to explain about that more, but give a little time to Joe.
Yeah, we may take some questions on that. And Joe, from your perspective, can you give us an example of, you know, exactly how does this actually help a company?
They help companies by introducing the people they wouldn't have otherwise met. Oftentimes, these companies are starting up and they just don't know what to do. They literally have an idea, and they don't know how to put that idea into the market. And the best way to do that is actually seek out people that have expertise in the particular problems that you're trying to solve. And oftentimes it's not one person, it's several people. There's marketing issues, there's fundraising issues. So we introduced them to every single one of those people. We actually have a broad network of people in every single discipline that we can introduce them to.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting if you ever do some research on that, the sort of the evolution of what makes for successful entrepreneurs, especially the very scalable kinds of companies, has really changed a lot in the last 10 years. So the old model was, let's spend tens of millions of dollars to discover the next Google, right? And it was a little bit like Harry Potter. If you've ever seen the movie, you'd spend all this money and you'd sort of believe you were going to go through the brick wall and you would emerge on the other side and go to Hogwarts. And it turned out that venture capital lost tens of millions of dollars. Turned out it was not a great business model. So now what's interesting happening is they're saying what really helps these startups is strong mentoring support, strong infrastructure, opportunity to meet with their peers, and small amounts of capital tied to milestones. Now, my guess in the room, there's a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of people that are from a business background. That's my background. I'm not an academic. I've had to make payroll, and I know what helps to make successful companies. It's successful teams, and it's learning from other people where the ditches are, where the holes, you know, avoid these mistakes. So what Joe was talking about is how do we start these young companies and increase the odds of their success? And the way we do that is small amounts of capital, and that's one of our initiatives. We want to have more what we call resident capital, capital located in the South Willamette Valley to invest in these early stage companies. Two, we want infrastructure to help bring these companies along, like these accelerators, places where they can learn to think through what is their business model. Three, we want to connect them to knowledgeable people. That's really increases your odds of success. In fact, they've done this interesting dynamic, and they've tracked these startups through their life cycle. And what they found out that the most important ingredients at the early stage was people resources. Yet at a certain stage, you need money to scale your business, but you will never get to that point unless you've proven out your business model. And that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to provide people with the resources to make that happen. So that's just as a little bit of background. So just another question for you guys. So so we graduate these companies. You know, a big problem that we saw in Portland for a number of years is we had these great companies, and then they got sucked down to Silicon Valley, and we never saw them anymore, right? So, you know, it's one thing to say, gee, we're going to incubate or we're going to help further these interesting companies, but how do we increase the odds that they're actually going to reside here in the South Willamette Valley? Anybody? Yeah.
This is where when we think of RAIN, we often talk about the accelerators, the RA, the regional accelerators. This is the innovation network concept. So the innovation network is actually everything that relates to launching a company to keeping a company here. At the very, very far end, we have K-12 education. We actually have to develop a workforce. We have to start very, very early. Then we actually have to think, where do these seeds land? If they land on infertile soil or hard ground, they'll blow away. We actually have to make the soil so when the seeds, the little companies we launch, land, they grow. And that's capital formation. It's understanding when these companies are forming what they're going to need in 5 years. It's developing the infrastructure to have those conversations, to keep tabs on them as they're going through the accelerators, how they might grow. And as we're tracking, we might be tracking 10 different companies and looking at them and saying, okay, 5 years, they might need a whole bunch of people that work in hardware, or, oh, they need some place to test agricultural robots.
And just as a follow-up question for either one of you guys, is there a kind of company that you're looking for?
So for us, we are looking at, one, technology companies, two, scalable ones, those that are growth-oriented. We want the companies to grow big and fast. And that's our focus. And in doing so, it's about creating that ecosystem so that when they have their exit, they come back to Eugene or come back to Corvallis and raise the next generation. This is not an overnight project. This is an ongoing project that takes a long time to develop an ecosystem. So absolutely, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in this region and Watford in a couple of years. Watch the results.
I'm going to add to that. When I think of what we want to attract, high-tech, high-growth, I actually think of molecular probes back when it started. Molecular probes did what I like reverse acquisition of life technologies. Life technologies came in, actually it was Invitrogen came and bought molecular probes. And they moved here and they stayed here, and now that they're Thermo Fisher Scientific, they're still here. They can't uproot those people. Those people are part of our community. They're oftentimes trailing spouses. There's a professor at the university, another person works at Invitrogen, and they can't displace that company. That's what we want to do. We want to grow companies here and grow them from the ground up with a highly educated workforce that you can't just pick up and move to another town. It has to be rooted in our community, and that's what we're looking to grow.
Go ahead, Mayor.
All I was going to add to that story, in addition to the fact that we've had that company that you talked about here for many years, what it brought with it was the wonderful Rosaria Hoglan, who not only did well financially with that, but invested in our community on an ongoing basis in a really important way in keeping with our community values. And that has mattered a great deal. It's a perfect example of what we like to foster and believe we can grow in our community.
And I think we're going to open it, but I had one other question for Mayor Manning, and maybe a little tougher question. So this is a non-trivial kind of a deal, right? I mean, there's a lot of constituencies. What do you see as the biggest barriers to success? What is the one or two things that we have to be especially good at if we're going to see results here?
So when this kind of tags on to your previous question as well, in terms of what kinds of things do we need to do over the long run to help ensure that more of these companies that are taking root in our communities are able to stay here. And the two primary things that we often hear, and we hear this when companies come into our communities potentially to locate here from other parts of the country, they really are looking, number one, at workforce. So who lives in the community? What kind of education and skills do they bring? Would they be strong workers, strong employees, people that as a company you would want to hire and invest in them as they continue their professional development? So, you know, I think that the workforce question in this region is a true asset of the region in terms of not only the rich array of private sector employers who choose to be in this community and this region because it's a great place to live and raise a family, also because of the great spillover impact of the university and its great workforce and our wonderful community colleges, both Lane and Lynn Benton Community College, and the real focus that both of these community colleges have in partnering with employers around workforce development issues, helping to create and customize specialized training and education opportunities specifically for new and emerging types of jobs. So I see that as a real strength that we have. One of the challenges that we have had not only in this region but also in the state is access to capital. So Jim, even though as I'm learning more about this and understanding that it doesn't necessarily take millions of dollars to start a company, there will be critical junctures in the growth of a company where additional investment capital needs to be found. And so the degree to which we in our region and in our state are able to support those efforts financially through angel investors and through other forms of venture capital, the closer those investments are to where the company is located, the more likely it is that the company and its leaders will be able to stay here. And so when the investment capital is coming from New York or from the Silicon Valley or elsewhere in the country, like any investor, you want to keep an eye on how your investment is going and where the leadership of that company that you're investing in is coming from, and that's where we have often seen companies leave our region and leave our state because the investors really are wanting to be able to pay close attention to that investment. So Mayor Piercy mentioned earlier the Willamette Angel Conference, which is a collaborative effort that our two communities have been involved in for several years that enlists angel investors, which then learn about and invest in companies in the region. That's been highly successful, one of the most successful in Oregon. Most recently awarded, I think, around $250,000 to the winning company. So those efforts are very, very helpful. And the continued growth of other venture capital options here in Oregon. And I think that as we're able to help grow that infrastructure and make those connections, we will continue to be and see more long-term success.
Can I add one thing?
Sure.
So I totally agree with what she's saying. I think those are things that are going well, but I think what we've heard at our from businesses locally here is that one of the things that we are struggling with and will continue to is the kind of investment in education that happens in this state. And that is a really big deal in terms of people wanting to come here and wanting to stay here, that we have to have schools that function well and provide the kind of education our children need and the ability to move forward into higher ed and to get what they need to be successful and strong. So I think you can't speak, that's not something that we have control over, but I think it's just a huge challenge for us to have that kind of foundation that we need.
Good. Well, thank you, panel. So I'll close it out, and I think next section we open it up to questions from the audience. So I'll take a seat.
And now we'll take a brief break for you to compose your questions at the table. Please, as soon as you do have a question, make your way up so we can get started. Thank you.
You're listening to KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, at 88.1, KLBR Bend, KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, and on the web, klcc.org.
With that, we'll go back on the air and to your questions.
In companies, rain usually means bringing in new business. At what price? If the price is reduced taxes on the rich and reduced services for the poor and middle class, would we call it business as usual? I hope rain doesn't mean rich against the indigent and needy, but reaching affluence of inclusive neighborhoods, which is it?
I'm going to try to answer your question. So they did an interesting study where they looked at all the job generation in the United States over a 30-year period. They looked at net job generation. So they looked at all jobs. By the way, can you hear me? Yes. Louder? Okay. So I'll project a little bit more. Normally, people don't say that about me, but I'll try to do a better job. So what is the foundation? Kauffman Foundation. So check this out. Check out Kauffman Foundation. They did this terrific study, and they covered all job generation in the United States over a 30-year period. And what they tracked is all the number of jobs being created and being destroyed. And what they found out, that the net job generation of all those companies came from companies 5 years and less. So, you know, if we're trying to support our communities, we need to generate new jobs and new companies that pay for those jobs, that pay taxes, that support our schools and our roads and the rest of it. And the research says that comes from these small companies. And RAIN's primary objective is to get more of those kinds of small, fast-growing, job-generating kinds of companies.
Can I add
I'll add something very quickly. So, you know, if we think about startups, I mean, the first word, starving, comes to mind. And just a little humor, everybody knows the definition or seen a spreadsheet. Well, a spreadsheet for a startup tells them how long they have to keep eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
All I wanted to add, and I think Jerry and everybody, they're very conscious of this fact that we have way too many families that may be holding 2-3 jobs and not being able to make a go of it. And so the idea that's behind all the work we're doing is that we'll not only bring jobs, but they pay decent wages that people can support their families and be independent and have the kind of life that everybody deserves. That's the whole point.
And I'll just add a small story. Now, this is a very, very recent story. So Mark actually introduced Mary Phillips to me. Mary Phillips works in tech transfer at OSU and introduced Mary to me. She has 3 Latino women that are actually doing a startup. They're working with the Department of Engineering to create a machine to make a food product, and they need some help. So I actually introduced them to NEDCO, the Neighborhood Economic Development Corporation here in Springfield, who has the Sprout Incubator to help them. So this is an example of we're not just focusing on startups coming out of the universities. We're actually focused on startups on all levels of the community, and this is an example of RAIN working.
First, I'd like to say thank you for all your work. The RAIN program is very important to our community, and I believe entrepreneurship is the backbone of our economy. So thank you for all of what you've done so far. My question really comes down to, what are the policies in place to protect startup companies from venture capitalists, and also what is the success rate by having venture capitalists involved?
Yeah, well, I'll take that. So I'm what's called, I'm not a venture capitalist. I'm an entrepreneur, so I've taken money from venture capitalists. The question behind that question was, you suppose that venture capital, you said, how do we protect entrepreneurs from venture capital? You know, there certainly can be abuses. You know, the way I'm looking at it and the way RAIN's looking at it is, we know we need sources of capital to help these companies get started. And usually what is the best kind of capital in that regard is what's referred to as resident capital. And that means that capital that's living in your community. Because if they're in your community, they're held responsible by their community. They can't go around trashing the local companies. They have a vested interest in those companies being successful. And you've seen it all over, and I think Mayor Manning made a comment about this. You know, it's not just the venture community. People tend to invest in their backyard. That's a natural tendency, and why we lost so many companies in Oregon over the years to venture capitalists, if you will, or sources of capital down the Silicon Valley, is that's where the money was, right? So what we're trying to do is establish local sources of capital, and we think we can do this. And it doesn't have to be huge pots of capital, but small amounts of capital to help get these companies moving forward. And also, through our mentoring, we want to align mentors with these startup companies. And those mentors could be lawyers, attorneys, accountants. They could be entrepreneurs that already have scars. We're going to try to give those entrepreneurs the people resources to increase their odds of success. Hopefully I answered your question.
No, actually, I can add to that as well. There's a bad perception of venture capitalists being vulture capitalists, and that's not necessarily true. They want your company to succeed. They're investing in you. So good protection comes from good training. It comes from having a good attorney experienced in those transactions. And it comes from people like Joe and myself who can help train these entrepreneurs on how to structure deals and how to manage those relationships. That's what it comes down to.
I was wondering if you could explain a little further how an individual might be able to go about investing in these startup companies in their community.
You can call us.
You may as well, you know, get it out to your listening audience how they go about doing this, because I think a lot of people would be interested in doing that.
Yeah, so, you know, the first things that I have to say is that investing in startups is highly risky. So, you know, even experienced investors only invest a very small percentage of their net worth in any kind of a startup. So I'm just, word of warning here, most startups fail. That's the reality. We're going to try to increase the odds of those. So that's my sort of gut reaction. And I say that because I was a very successful entrepreneur, and I've lost a ton of money investing in other companies. I've turned out I wasn't as smart investing as I was running my own company. There is a real art in terms of investing. One way of doing that, if you want to start small, is invest with other angels and learn by doing. And in the South Willamette Valley, we have the Willamette Angel Conference. And you can go visit the website. It's short for WAC, Willamette Angel Conference. And what they do is, that's a group of accredited investors. And happy to talk to you more about what an accredited investor is. But you have to meet some certain criteria of wealth. And they, as a group, will do the due diligence on these companies and invest as a group in those companies. So they maximize their due diligence, which increase their odds of success, and they all put small amounts of capital instead of you writing a large check on a single company. So you could write a number of small checks over a series of years and actually develop a portfolio of small companies. But if you want to learn more about it, the Willamette Angel Conference is a good place to start.
No, I agree with that. In fact, we're in the midst of starting an angel fund as well. So there will be other opportunities to take advantage of it through a managed fund as opposed to having to do the work yourself.
Just to add to what Jim said, the importance of education. Most of these companies fail. And when we talk most, we're talking 70 to 90% of these will fail. If you're going to invest in these companies, don't think of investing in one. Think of investing in a lot of them. And we say one out of 10 will be a huge success. And by a huge success, it'll make the other 9 that failed be inconsequential. So.
Hi, thank you for coming. I'm Marlene Nesri, and I'm interested in the relationship of the RAIN programs to nonprofit startups and nonprofits that are maybe poised to go to a next level of growth and employment. And what kind of services might they seek from your consortium?
So right now we're focused on high-tech, high-growth companies in traded sectors. Now, a lot of the challenges of impact companies, and we call it impact companies or impact investing, is that a lot of the same strategies that high-growth, high-tech companies use to grow and succeed are applicable. So initially, we're looking to grow traded sector companies, but a lot of the tools and techniques that will be taught in the accelerators will be directly applicable to impact companies. So what we hope to do, or what I hope to do, is actually have education in the communities that has people that are doing impact investing or they're doing impact companies can learn from. And actually, there's someone in the audience I know that's doing an impact company, that Jim Couples over there, who you can talk to more about impact investing. They actually have a more well put together impact group up in Portland, and I hope we can learn from them a bit more.
So, and just quick, make sure we get through all the questions. Let's make sure we'll, and me included, we'll try to keep our answers shorter, just to make sure we get all the questions in. So, please go ahead.
Okay, my name is Roz Stein. I'm a City Club member. I'm asking this interesting question on the behalf of Pat, who hopefully will be a City Club member in the future. So I'll read that from her. How can this consortium affect the K-12 education of our area to produce the future workforce we need? Is there something innovative that can be done that doesn't go directly through the established funding mechanisms for education?
I don't know how to answer that for RAIN. What I do know that is part of the work we've been doing in our area with Workforce Partnership and other partners in the community is there's a kind of an accreditation program for young people to help to have them be ready to go to work, and they learn all the skills and they learn what they need, and then they get something that certifies that they've reached that level. So it's actually giving them opportunity and support in their education to succeed. So that's one of the things that I know about that's going on.
One thing, Eugene, that you can look at, there's a program called ECHO, ECCO. That's Brad New, and he's working with LCC. Look that up.
But I feel remiss because I can't let go of this because I care so much about it. I just think the work of trying to be sure that our schools have adequate funding, you know, the governor's working on it, everybody's working on it. I just think we just can't take our feet off the pedal. I mean, I think it's so, so significant to everything that we're trying to do here and in all places in this state. So there is no way to undervalue the opportunities for a good education for our kids.
Wendy Wheeler Coltrane, City Club member for the past 3 years. My question is, is there a selection process in taking on people with their ideas, their startups? And what is the criteria or what are the considerations, and does that include environmental impacts?
Good question.
So I'm happy to take that. Part of our criteria, one, it has to be a technology company. Two, it has to be a for-profit company. We are looking at high-growth companies. We don't necessarily look at environmental impact, but most of the research in our school and in the community are all environmentally aware and concerned. But the answer to that is no, it's not a specific criteria.
Hi, I'm Paul Thompson, a City Club member. We've heard a lot of lofty goals that are easy to embrace. Let's talk about some specifics for a second. Could you each give us two companies which are in your pipeline right now that we can kind of wrap our brains around?
Oh, I'm happy to talk to that. So we've already helped 16 companies. And since you only asked for two, I'll tell you one company that makes a base chemical for a drug called Flonase. It may be something all of you know. They have a purer and more efficient way of making that. And within their first year of starting, they're on the road to making $1 million in revenue. Another company that we're working with is working on a plug-in hybrid system for natural gas vehicles. And as part of that, they've received a large grant from the Department of Energy. And recently were featured on the Department of Energy site and just got what's called a plus-up, which means they like the work so much that another $3.6 million in grant money to help develop that technology is coming in. I hope that answers that question.
So I've only been on the job now for 5 weeks, so my pipeline in the actual accelerator is fairly small right now. But I can talk about the people that I've helped in the last year just before I was actually in the accelerator. So the companies I can list right now, Dune Sciences, which was in the WAC, Orchid Health, they were actually the winner of the concept round of the WAC. They're opening a health clinic in Oak Ridge. There's a company called Manage My Co-op that's doing co-op software for group buying. I'm trying to go down the list. Talk to Jim Couples at Ballot Path. I mean, I talked to just about anybody in the startup community about helping them move a little bit further down the field. So when we think about the pipeline, the RAIN Accelerator will be working with a certain number of companies that get accepted into the accelerator. But through the Innovation Network, we hope to work with all startups across the entire spectrum, no matter what they are. So people that come to me and don't know where to go, that aren't a good fit for the accelerator, we'll point them in the right place. So this will be, they might be SBDC, might be Nedco, it might be Fertilab. There's someone in the community that can help them, and we try and point them in the right place.
I'm Betty Hosokawa. I'm asking this question for someone at our table who is not a City Club member. I think this is related to just the question you just addressed, but what are the metrics you're using to measure success?
That's what we've been working on.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, so ultimately we're using economic development measures to measure our success. So, I mean, some of them are, you know, if you run a company, your ultimate measure is profitability. But it's really a little bit like driving with the rear view mirror. So typically, and I ran a manufacturing company, so we had a lot of process measures to also help judge our progress. And we will also do that. So we're going to be tracking, you know, how many companies we connect with mentors. How many companies do we successfully graduate? How much capital do those companies that graduate raise? How many employees have they added? How much what we call leverage capital are they able to attract, right? Leverage capital meaning, let's say we create a local fund and they put money into that company. Well, if other people put money into that company as well, we call those leverage dollars. But our ultimate measure is, are we creating jobs in the South Willamette Valley? That's our single ultimate measure.
Good jobs.
Good paying jobs, absolutely. Yep. Sorry. If you think about it, and now this does relate to your workforce development too, because in the technology sphere, you know, you need educated people. But those jobs tend to be very family wage-supporting kind
That's
of jobs.
Right. That's right.
But it does beg the question, and RAIN doesn't answer all the questions out here, and that's an important question that today, at least, we're not capable of answering by ourselves, which is, okay, you're going to create those jobs. Are we graduating the kids with the skills to take advantage of those jobs? That's a legitimate question.
Rob Zako, City Club member, and one of you used the term ecosystem, and that suggests to me competition, free market, survival of the fittest in economic terms. And we in the Southern Willamette Valley are in some sense in competition with other research areas, Silicon Valley down in the San Francisco Bay Area, the Silicon Forest of Intel and, if you will, Nike up around Portland and up in Seattle, Microsoft, of course, Boeing and stuff like that. So what would you see here in the Southern Willamette Valley are the unique strengths or advantages, or what do we bring sort of to the larger ecosystem that gives us a competitive advantage?
I love answering that question. Mm-hmm. I think the South Willamette Valley is, you know, the world is changing. People are moving from Silicon Valley to Oregon. Now, I worked for a while in Central Oregon, and the same thing's happening there. So I'm really proud. My daughter graduated last year, and she's dating the best possible guy in the world. He's a computer science master's graduate, and he's 23, and he's going to earn a six-figure income in the Silicon Valley. That the cost of these computer science, the same better-skilled computer science, somebody with 5 or 6 years in Oregon, especially in places like Central Oregon, South Willamette Valley, going to be a lot less than that with more experience. So what do we bring to the party? Cost of living's less. It's more beautiful. It doesn't take you 2 hours to get to work. You don't have the pollution. We have these two incredible research universities, and you have this vibrant entrepreneurial community that just needs to get taken advantage of. And we've now got the infrastructure. And, you know, we'll see if we're successful. You know, judge us by our success. We're just starting. But it is this unique combination of these universities and communities that I have not seen before, and I'm very optimistic about that. So I think there's a lot that we bring to the party.
John Belcher, City Club member. This is also a question from someone at the table who has not yet joined. Do you see Oregon's $1 million threshold for inheritance tax a restriction to growing local venture capital? And the second part is it making this area not an attractive place to grow large new businesses?
Yeah, so, you know, tax policy generally does not impact early stage companies. That generally it does not. And once you've made your money, or if you're a larger corporation, tax policy has a big impact, but it will not impact our ability to create pools of capital to invest in startup companies here locally. I'm not saying it isn't an issue, it doesn't, but it is not an issue as it relates to the creation of startup capital.
To add to that, companies or investors go to where the ideas are. So if the good ideas are here, they'll come here no matter what the obstacles are to investing here.
So my name is Garrett Dunleavy. I'm an entrepreneur from the University of Oregon. And my question pertains to the systems that currently exist in, say, Eugene. I'm wondering from the RAIN side, Joe, you and the incubators and accelerators in town have had extensive conversations on this. What's being done on the RAIN side to ensure that other organizations that have grown organically in the community are not being stepped on while there's collaboration working towards the same end?
So we're working really hard to recognize that there are existing organizations in the community. We don't actually want to replace them with anything. The accelerator actually fulfills a very, very narrow segment of the ecosystem. We take companies that are coming out of the incubators and out of the co-working spaces, we accelerate them, and after we accelerate them, we intend for them to land back in the community, back in the co-working spaces, back in the incubators, back in places where they might rent out of a building downtown. So we don't intend to compete with them in any way. We plan to use them as feeders into the accelerator, and we plan to talk with them to make sure that they have places for our companies to go when they go through the accelerator.
Just as an add-on to that response, it might be helpful just very briefly to explain to you how RAIN is organized and governed, because it speaks to your question as well, and a real commitment I think that we want to demonstrate in the composition of the governing board. So RAIN is a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, and its board has sort of permanent representation from the positions of the mayors of Corvallis and Eugene, and also the vice presidents of research for Oregon State and the University of Oregon, so 4 members in those positions. It also has 5 private sector board members. And so this idea of trying to codify the composition of the board in a way that includes in a very important manner the private sector, community-based entrepreneurs and companies, and maybe over time, maybe more and more of those will be graduates of the accelerators, the work that's happening here. But this idea of this collaboration, and Joe mentioned it earlier, I think it's important to emphasize that RAIN, the acronym, the regional accelerators that we've been talking a fair amount, that's a key element, and the innovation network. So this idea that RAIN is not just a place in Eugene or multiple places in Eugene and Corvallis to accelerate companies and graduate them out into the world, it is also a network. So this virtual network of entrepreneurs and mentors and investors and resource people in areas like human resources and patent law and supply chain and, you know, the kinds of things that can really gum up the works of companies that are starting and growing and need to access answers to critical questions of how to continue on a forward path for that company. So this innovation network, the virtual part of this is very much community-based, and I think is a really important point to note as well.
Hello, Marty Wilde, City Club member since 2010. Well, thank you for your investment in the Flonase product. Those of us who suffer allergies, especially this time of the year, are very grateful for your investment in science and technology. However, outside of science and technology, I am reminded of Garrison Keillor's comment that the real National Endowment for the Arts was the unemployment insurance program. But joking aside, are there opportunities for people with new ideas in the arts, humanities, and social services to scale up those ideas? Or is the potential for a profit just too low in those areas?
Yeah. So I'd say initially, you know, the legislation as it's written is for traded sector companies. But I think Joe made a comment, or maybe it was Mark, you know, by improving the entire ecosystem, and maybe it was Julie that said this, is that what we're trying to do is create this innovative network, and it sounds like doublespeak, but really what it's meant to say is we're trying to connect these resources. So let's say you are a nonprofit, and you come in and you meet with Joe. Joe has done a great job of reaching out, and he's just started, but he's reaching out. In fact, he came from Fertilab. You know, he's one of those, we talk about one of those resources in the community, and I thought it was great that when we chose our first chief startup officer, we went to an already established element and didn't say, oh, we're going to create another thing at the University of Oregon, right? We want to reach out in the community, and the first thing Joe's done is try to reach out in that community. So to answer the question, I think regardless of whether you're a profit or no profit or nonprofit, you can come into this network and talk to a Joe, and Joe's going to be able to say, hey, look, I can't help you, but here's the person at Small Business Development Center, or, you know, here's the Association of Nonprofits you need to talk to, and try, you know, the end goal of any conversation ought to be, have I helped this person by directing them to a good resource?
When you think about reaching people with art, and I think that was to your question, so when you're thinking about reaching people with art, there's a lot of tools we use when we're helping high-tech, high-growth startups to reach a lot of people. So when you teach people the techniques for extending reach, you can actually translate that to just about anything. So I think that once we get some of the techniques for growing high-growth companies out into the community, people will start sharing those techniques. So people that have ideas to spread art will actually be able to use these techniques and spread their art a little bit further. And if people have a message they want to send, they'll be able to send that message a little bit further. So,
well, sorry, just one other comment. You know, there is also, you know, this idea that sometimes the arts does not, you know, creativity really leads to some interesting, you know, look at Steve Jobs, right? He actually came from the artistic side. Or Paul Anthony, right? This company, Rumblefish, he was a music major at University of Oregon and got expelled. But somebody in the business school thought he was a pretty bright guy and actually lent him some money to get his company started, and now he's turned into this incredible music inventory business.
So, you know, I think there's a you know, creativity is so critical for the success of these. You know, if you'd say innovation, think creativity. There's a real role for the arts in that regard.
So there's a thought called design-driven innovation, where design is an important part of what everything does. But we as startups, because we are a startup, both accelerators are startups, have to have some focus initially. And we can't do all things for all people. Eventually, that may become true, providing the resources are there. But like everybody else, we have to have that focus on what we can do.
So I have a degree from art from the University of Oregon, graduated in 98. So.
And I was just going to say that, because I think it's important in this conversation to say that the arts bring $47 million into our community annually. So they're a big part of our economy.
Well, thank you to our speakers, Jim Coonan, Julie Manning, Kitty Piercy, Rick Spinrad, and Patrick Jones, for bringing clarity and vision to this topic. And thanks again to our sponsors, the Oregon Country Fair, Essex General Construction, and Dot Dotsons. We meet again next Friday on June 6th at the Downtown Athletic Club to hear The Future of Tracktown USA with Vin Lanana. Lunches for this program can be ordered on the City Club's website or by contacting the office. Thank you for coming today.